about the burn.
Morning, everyone. We're on. We're live. Today's daf in Midos is daf Lamed Vav, second to last day of the Masechta. We have one more to go after this. We're doing the third parak of Midos today, and then maybe as a bonus, we'll do a couple of Mishnayos in the fourth parak as well. But our primary objective today is to get to the third parak of Midos. Okay, architectural design and a little bit of engineering today as well. We get to see more of the Bais Sheni in its splendor. And in the second parak, we started from the outside, and what we're going to do, our movement over here in terms of the floor plan is to go internal, meaning we're going to go from a point of the most outer Kedusha to the most inner Kedusha. So that is correct. Eventually, we're going to get to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but we're not there yet. So what did we do yesterday in the second parak of Midos? We started all the way out in Har HaBayis, and we gradually moved in. We talked about the layout of the Har HaBayis area, 500 by 500 square amas. Contained in the Har HaBayis is the temple courtyard, the Azara. Connected to the Azara is the Ezros Nashim as well, another contained area. We talked yesterday about the Ezros Nashim. We talked yesterday about the four compartments that are around the Ezros Nashim and the usage of those four areas. We went into the eastern gate of the Azara, the Shar Nicanor, the Nicanor gate. We noted that it was not made out of gold, but rather it was made out of copper, and it was unique in that sense. All the other doorways were made out of gold. We started making our way into the Azara. Okay, now, my handy-dandy picture over here. We started making our way into the Azara. Some of the more general points that we made yesterday. There we go. Some of the more general points we made yesterday is that you're going from the east to the west. So it's a continual ascent. It goes up. The elevations keep going up. Now, everything is built on a flat ledge, and then a ridge, and then it goes up. How do you go up from one level to the other? So steps are always created in order to move up from one level to the other. So, for example, Ezros Nashim over here, which on this diagram is going to be the lowest elevation. So Ezros Nashim, in order to get up from Ezros Nashim up to Ezros Kohanim, so you had steps going up. 15 steps. Remember our rule, which we're going to violate today, is that all steps are half an amma high and a half an amma in. That's the story with almost all the steps in the Beis HaMikdash. So if you have 15 steps over here, so that means that the elevation from the Ezros Nashim to the Azara is going to be 7.5 amas. As you walk in through the Nicanor gates, we did this yesterday in the second parak, then you go, and the first 11 amas you encounter is what's called Ezros Yisrael. Ezros Yisrael, simply because that's where the Yisraelim, the non-Kohanim, would go, and they would not go beyond that point in time. Then there was another elevation going up over here, a short elevation of 2.5 amas. 2.5 amas is still nearly 3 feet. So another elevation over here, and that gets you from Ezros Yisrael over into Ezros Kohanim. And what we're about to encounter, and this is now the beginning of the third parak, is the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is now what we're up to. Now eventually, over the course of today, over the course of the third parak, we're going to go cover the Mizbeach. We're then going to move between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. And I think today we're going to go so far as maybe even enter into the Ulam. Okay, that's going to be our move. We're going to be slow moving today. We're not going to get that far.
The Levim were the same area than the Kohanim.
Yeah, Levim were able to be in the Azara. Right. Their shir that they sang was there. I'm not exactly sure where they stood during the shir. They stood over here on this duchen, on this platform over here, perhaps that's the story. Okay, unclear. But in other words, as you move towards the west, more and more kedusha. Okay, Ezros Nashim, Ezros Yisrael, Ezros Kohanim. We're going to go to the Ulam, and then tomorrow, eventually, we're obviously going to go into the Heichal itself, but you have to wait till tomorrow for that. So, or too much for today. The Mishnah starts off with the Mizbeach. Now, a lot of this is going to be good review for us. We've done a lot of this before. The Mishnah describes the Mizbeach. Now, as a general point, which the Mishnah really does not discuss, but we talked about this already a number of times, where exactly is the Mizbeach? Meaning, we know, let's talk length and width, meaning length meaning from east to west, and width meaning from north to south. So east to west, there's no debate whatsoever. We know exactly where the Mizbeach is on the east-western front. Okay, in other words, it's 11 amas from Ezros Yisrael, from the entrance into the end of Ezros Yisrael. Another, what is it, 22? Is that accurate? I'm not even sure. Okay, whatever that number is, okay, whatever the number may be, so we know where it stands east to west. North to south, it's a moving target. It's a total moving target. If you look at the Rambam's picture in the back of your Gemaras, you're going to find that most of it is located in the south. The Rambam has most of the Mizbeach in the south, and that is up for debate. We actually learned not that long ago in the Mishnayos and Tamid, they have the Mizbeach almost totally in the north. Okay? And some have the Mizbeach centered, meaning that the center point of the Mizbeach is going to be along the exact 50-yard line of the north-south horizon. Okay. So anyway, so that's I know it's funny that we're having such a machlokus, but there is. In the meantime, however, we're going to be speaking in our first Mishnah about the specifics of the Mizbeach. The Mishnah says, we're in Lamed Hey Amud Beis. We're right in the middle of the Amud. We're starting the third parak of Midos. The Mizbeach was 32 by 32. Now, you know how the Mizbeach works. It is three blocks, one on top of another. The base, the block over the base, and the block over that as well. Each block is one amma shorter than the block previous. Remember, when I say one amma, I mean one amma on each side. So every time I'm going up now, I'm losing two ammas. One amma on this side, one amma on that side. And with that information, the rest of it is very simple and very straightforward. So you start with the foundation, and that's 32 by 32. Okay? Allah amma v'chanas amma. Now, how high is the foundation? It's one amma. Zeh yisod. Nimsa shloshim ashloshim. Now we put a block over the foundation. That's going to be 30 by 30. Okay. Allah chamesh v'kanas amma. Zasovev. Then we go to the block above it, and the block above it is what's called the block. I'm not sure if it has a name. On top of the block now, on that block, you have a third block, which is called the sovev. And now, if you're following now, that's going to be 20 by 28. The Mishnah says exactly that. Nimsa chav ches al chav ches. Okay. Now, it's interesting. I'll tell you what the Mishnah doesn't tell us. The Mishnah gives us almost every single linear measurement except for the height of the sovev. Now, between us friends over here, we know that the height of the sovev is three amas high. We know that because we know that the total height of the Mizbeach is going to be, don't say 10, say 9. It's going to be 9 amas high. Now, it is true that the totality of the Mizbeach is 10 amas high, but that 10th amma is made by the kronos, made by the, quote-unquote, the horns on the four corners of the Mizbeach, right? It's horns is not a good description of it. It's what its name is. It's called kronos, but it's simply a square block, one amma by one amma by one amma. It's one cubic amma that's placed in all four corners, and we know the significance of those kronos is where the blood of the chatas is sprinkled for every carbon chatas, animal carbon chatas. Right, Kronos corners, right, the two, they may be related, it's a good point. So what the Mishnah does not say is that the height of the Sovev is three Amas. Why the Mishnah doesn't tell us that, I don't know. I don't have
but you would be able to figure it out by process.
Yeah, in other words, yeah, we know it, we know what it is, but the Mishnah does not give us that information. It's just strange. It would seem to be the appropriate thing to do in Midos to give that kind of information, especially when it gives all the other information. Okay, but it is what it is. Nimsa chavches achavches makom akronos. Amma mizeva amma mizeh. Nimsa chavav achavav. So now we're on the very top of the Mizbeach. So, remove one amma on the top of the Mizbeach, meaning now the top of the Mizbeach is a platform of 28 by 28 ammas. Good. You got to remove one amma on each corner for the kronos. Now, I know that there is empty space between the kronos, but just take it away. So now if I'm removing one amma on each side for the kronos, so we went from 28 down to 26. Okay. And we need a walkway, meaning, remember, the Kohanim now are going to be going on the top of the Mizbeach, and they need a path to walk. So the typical path of a person is going to be a one amma wide path. So now we have, internal to the kronos, a one amma path that is it etched? I don't know. My thinking is that it's just marked, but I'm using a little bit of imagination over here. So Malkam Hiluch Ragle Kohanim, this is where the Kohanim walk around the Mizbeach, Amma Mizeh V'Amma Mizeh, and the pathway on the top of the Mizbeach is one Amma by one Amma. So now, on the top of the Mizbeach, what's the remainder? meaning after the Kronos and after the pathway for the Kohanim. So what's left is Chavdal Achavdal, 24x24, Makom HaMaracha. That's the place for the Maracha. Now the mission does not mean that the Maracha makes up the entire remaining 24. It just simply means that there's room enough on the top of the Mizbeach of 24x24 Amas for the Maracha, for the bonfires. Right? How many bonfires in total? So let's say three. Three bonfires in total. One is for the burning of the of all the limbs. One is going to be a reserve, and one is going to be fuel for the kitaris that is burnt inside the heichal. Now, a little bit of history. I mean, a little bit of history. I mean, that's all we're doing now these days in Daf Hayomi. So, but a little bit of history. I'm Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says, you know, that wasn't the original size of the mizbeach. Mitchila lo hayu ala chavches al chavches. The original mizbeach. Now, when he says the original mizbeach, right? Which Mizbeach is he talking about? Presumably, the Mizbeach of Bayit Rishon.
Right.
The first temple Mizbeach. It started at 28x28. Now, let's just do a little bit of simple math together. We just described the Mizbeach of the second temple being starting with a base of 32x32. And what did it, in other words, once we built blocks one on top of the other, what did it end up at? It ended up at 28, correct. And then take away the Kronos and take away the pathway, it ends at 24. So 32 minus 24 is 8. Okay? So 8 amos are lost from the foundation up to the top of the Mizbeach. So now, it's very simple math. So if 8 amos are lost, so if I started with 28, how much am I ending up with on top? I'm ending up with 20. So the Mishnah says exactly that. Chavches or chavches konev olam b'mida zu, ashenimsa makam ha-maracha chavachav. So now the top of the Mizbeach is going to be 20 by 20. Okay, and here we get to the interesting part. So we had a supersize. We built the Bayit Sheni, and we had a supersize. U'kisha'alu b'nei Agola hosifu alav. So they added to the Mizbeach. Arba Amos min Atzafon, v'dalet Amos min, I'm sorry. We want to change that? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Arba Amos min Adorom. 4 amos south, vidal amos minamarav, and 4 amos west, kimin gamma. Like the Greek letter gamma. Greek letter gamma is used very often. We have a letter in the English language, it's called an L. It's the same basic idea. It's a bracket. It's an L bracket. Excuse me. Shenamar, and how do I know this? Now, before I get to the Shenamar. So, an addition was made to the Mizbeach, so that the Mizbeach of the Second Temple was a total of 8 amas, right? No, I'm sorry, 4 amas, sorry.
It wasn't square then.
Right, it was, the second Mizbeach had a total of 24 on the top, and the one in the first Mizbeach, of the first base of Mikdash only had 20 on the very top. Okay, issue number one, it's a big issue. Issue number one is, you can't make modifications to the base of Mikdash. Meaning that all measurements of the Beis HaMikdash are divinely ordained. I mean, there's no architectural review board. Everything is done kedas u'kedin according to the strict dimensions that are given by Kadosh Baruch Hu. So, what are they doing, making the Mizbeach larger? So perhaps the Mishnah is extraordinarily bothered by that. And I know that this is going to be a big issue. I'll give you a simple example. Yesterday we talked about the balcony, right? We were out yesterday in the second parak on the Ezras Nashim, and we talked yesterday about the balconies. Meaning, and the balcony was not an original part of the Binyan HaMikdash, and they made balconies for the women because they didn't want tarovus, they didn't want mixture between the men and the women, so they made balconies. So the Gemara in Sukkah, when talking more about these balconies, the Gemara in Sukkah said, "Well, how are they allowed to do that?" Meaning, aren't you not allowed to make any modifications to the base of Mikdash whatsoever? And that's talking about the balcony in the Ezras Nashim. Now, I don't want to belittle, but in other words, we're not even in the Azara, and the Gemara over there says, how could you do the balconies? And by the way, just as a parenthetical note, the answer the Gemara gives over there is that the separating of the genders of men and women is more important. That I'm not saying it well. It's not more important, but it's important enough where a modification can be made, which is one of Rav Moshe's. Again, I go back to Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe, he speaks the most about mechitzas. He has tshuva after tshuva after tshuva about mechitzas. Rav Moshe says, he comments and he says, you see that the separation of the genders is just not a nicety. It's not just a preferred state to be in. In other words, it's important enough where we create a modification to the Beis HaMikdash, right, just to give you an idea of how important it is to separate the genders.
So, when they gave the design of the Beis HaMikdash, didn't they know that they were going to have that?
Yeah, I understand. Those are questions I'm not going to have answers for. Those are good questions. Right. Yeah. So, but now we're talking about the Mizbeach, meaning one of the central points of the Beis HaMikdash, right, where we burn the Karbanos, and in the Second Temple, so it gets supersized. It gets, you know, we just got to add more. Where did that come from? So I believe that's the next line of the Mishnah. Meaning, what we're going to now do is we're going to cite Yechezkel. Now, this is only going to be a partial answer to my question. The question is a strong question. It's going to be a partial answer to the question, but that's what the Mishnah now is doing. After having noted that the Mizbeach of the Second Temple is larger than the Mizbeach of the First Temple, you need justification. Now, by justification, I mean you need some sort of pasuk, you need some sort of drasha. So now I'm going to read on in the Mishnah, because I think that's the segue between the talking about the change and now a quote in the pasuk in Yechezkel, Shenemar. So we put now quote Yechezkel. Now Yechezkel, we've talked about this before, he describes the building of the temple. But mostly he describes the building of the third Beis HaMikdash. Meaning the Bayis Sheni, the second temple, which we've been doing now for the past couple of days, and we're going to do tomorrow as well. The Bayis Sheni is almost like kind of like a stopgap measure. Well, meaning, I know it lasted a long time, it was 420 years, but it's obviously, I mean, we could say this easily now in retrospect, right? Hindsight gives us a very clear view of this. The second Beis HaMikdash was not meant to be a permanent structure. So he describes more the third Beis HaMikdash, but certainly have the right to take Pesukim from Yechezkel and apply it to the Bayis Sheni. And the Pasuk says, Vahariel Yud Beis Arech B'Shtem Esrei Rochev Ravua. It was 12 Amas by 12 Amas. Well, how is that going to help us? Sorry. We don't want 12 Amas by 12 Amas. We want 24 by 24. Okay. Yeah. Yachol Sheinu Ella Yud Beis Ad Yud Beis. So I might have thought that after reading the pasuk in Yechezkel, that's it. All you got is 12 by 12. So Kishu Omer Al Arba Riva Av Melami Shemina Emtsa Hu Modein. Yeah, 12 is by the middle. We measure 12 from the center. Modein Yud Beis Amal Lachol Ruach. So in other words, 12 by the center. So obviously, if I'm putting 12 in the center, so that means 12 to the right, 12 to the left. 12 in front, 12 in back, so it means it's 24 by 24. Okay, so that's how we get to our number of 24 by 24. And by the way, it's almost clear in the pasuk. Al arba'as riv'av. I don't know if I read that. I may have skipped that over. It's on the four corners. So malamit shemina emtzehu modei yud beizam l'chol ruach. Okay, so that is how it went. It's only a partial answer to our question. Meaning, really, the more fundamental question, which is, I don't know about more fundamental. Meaning, so we have now a pasuk in Yechezkel that allows us to make the Mizbeach the larger size of a 32 base with a 24 square amma working area on the top of the Mizbeach. Good. Why did they make it larger? Meaning, good, now we know they made it larger, now we know that they have a pasuk to justify it. But it really doesn't explain why they needed to do that. Or I guess we could just reverse the question. I'm just going to ask the same question, but just in the reverse. If that's the dimension of the Mizbeach according to Yechezkel, why was the Mizbeach of the Bayis Rishon smaller? Meaning,
it was built before
Yechezkel. Yes or no? I'm not sure if that's a compelling answer.
Yechezkel said that when? Before it was built? After it was built?
I mean, Yechezkel was at the end of the Bayis Rishon.
So there was a prophecy.
Yeah, so he said Bederech Nevuah.
Was he Rishon or
Sheni? Rishon. All the Nevi'im came. Rishon, Sheni already, that's the end of Nevi'im. Nevi'im built the second temple, and that's it. The Tkufa of Nevi'im ended after that. Your last Navi was Ezra, who built the second temple, and that's it.
What was in the Mishkan, the Mitzvah? Mizbeach?
Hmm?
How big was the Mizbeach in the Mishkan?
In the Mishkan, up for debate. Up for debate. I mean, it was transportable also. I mean, here now you're talking about a structure that's 60 by 60 feet, you know, talking about length and width, approximate. I mean, this is not to be moved. This is stationary. In the Mishkan, in the desert, they were moving.
He's describing, this is just one line of a poster.
He's describing the Mizbeach. I mean, he calls it the Ariel.
The whole temple?
No. Right here is describing the Mizbeach. It has a nickname.
As part of what?
As part of the third temple. The Bayis Shlishi.
It could definitely say, Bayis, Achron, and Rishon.
Now, take a look at the Rush. I'm not going to go through it right now. The Rush does attempt to explain it based on the sewage system, and in the second temple they wanted the sewage system to go directly over the canal, the underground canals. Beginning of an answer. I don't fully understand it. Anyway, take a look inside. Just recognize that these are issues. Okay. And finishing up our Mishnah over here, and there was a red line. And there was a red line right in the middle of the Mizbeach. We spent so much time talking about this red line. It's Lahavdol Bein Adam HaMelion and Adam HaTachton, because it divides the Mizbeach. Because we know the blood of an animal chatas has to go over the Chut HaSikra. The blood of an Ola... the blood of an Ola animal goes below the Chut HaSikra, and by birds it's the opposite. The Olas go on top and the Chatas go below. But we know that there are bloods that are sprinkled on the Mizbech specific to up versus down, above versus below. And now what about the foundation itself? So interestingly enough, now the Mishnah describes that the foundation of the Mizbeach was not a perfect square. It was 32 by 32 amma, but it recessed a little bit. Now along the north side, along the west side, it was a perfect square. Av ocha b'daram amma achas, v'mizrach amma achas. But as that yisod ran along the southern side of the Mizbeach and the eastern side of the Mizbeach, there simply was no yisod. Meaning, it recessed, it cut in a little bit. Now, why is that? So the Mishnah here doesn't explain. Remember what we talked about? Regarding the division of this area between Binyamin versus Yehuda. Right? Binyamin basically got everything. How else are we going to say it? The pasuk says regarding Binyamin, the bracha that was given to Binyamin is Bein Ktefav Shachein. It's literally on his shoulders, meaning Binyamin gets to shoulder all the basically everything. What is Binyamin getting? Binyamin's getting, and if I were going to draw a line north south, and I run it right along the eastern side of the Mizbeach, and the line's gonna move just a little bit, right? All those boundary lines are never straight lines anyway. So the line's gonna run. I'm going from the south up north. Yeah. So basically, I'm going up along the western side of the Mizbeach, hit the south side of the Mizbeach, and then the line cuts across the south and moves up now the western side, the eastern side of the Mizbeach. And then it goes all the way up north. So in other words, let me do it from your perspective. Okay. So in other words, okay, he's got it over there?
Yeah.
Okay, good, fine. All right, even better. So Binyamin gets the Mizbeach and obviously everything to the west of the Mizbeach. So he's got the Mizbeach, he's got the Heichal, he's got the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Binyamin's got it all.
He got, right.
And Yehuda gets a little bit. Now, but by the way, what does Yehuda get? Yehuda gets part of the Azara, and Yehuda gets the Lishkas Agazas.
Where is the king?
I don't know. I mean, there's no. He gets in anywhere. There's no particular place reserved for the king.
It's going
to be okay. No, because this line is a north-south line. Meaning the Mizbeach can shift around, but only on the north-south line. The Mizbeach, we know, east-west, we know pretty much where it is.
Right, but Yehuda gets the
Right. So in other words, correct. So wherever that Mizbech is going to get, Yehuda is right up to the southern base, wherever that base may be. Okay. Let's continue. We're on the next Mishnah. We're on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, and we're starting with the Mishnah right over there. Second Mishnah. Vekaren Ma'arav Yisroel Mizah Yishnei Nekavim. Now, on the base of the southwest of the Mizbech, there were two holes, Kimin Shnei Chotmim, and they look like two nostrils. Shnei Chotmim Dakin. Two thin nostrils. Sha'adamin Nitam Yisroel Ma'arav Yival Yisroel Drom Yardim Behem. Blood which is deposited either along the southern wall or along the western wall of the Mizbech run down these holes. Umitarvim Ba'ama. And there's a canal. And apparently it gets funneled, it gets sewered into the canal. And the canal runs all that wonderful blood down the hill. Now, where down the hill? I'm not 100% sure. The Mishnah says, V'yotzen l'nachal Kidron. It goes down the Kidron Valley. I don't know where the Kidron Valley is, so I'm not really sure how this canal actually flows. But it goes down to the Kidron Valley. We've learned before what happens to that blood. First of all, the blood's been used already. It's used blood. Mitzvah's been done. Is there an Isser of Me'ilah on the blood? So you'd be correct if you'd say no. There is no Isser of Me'ilah. It's Acher Mitzvah so. However, the Chachamim slapped a Din Me'ilah Midrabanan on that blood. But what you could do is that you could buy the blood from the Beis HaMikdash, meaning it's still property of the Beis HaMikdash. You could buy the blood from the Beis HaMikdash and use it as fertilizer. And by the way, the Rush describes that's exactly what was done. Mishnah Gimel. There was a tavla. There was a stone. The stone was one amma by one amma. Shebo yarden lishis umenakin osa. Now there would be congealed wine that would get caught underneath over there. And so what they had is they had a way of basically opening up, getting to the area where the congealed wine was, and scooping out the congealed wine. The Mishnah over here does not describe. They would do it how often? Do you remember? Once every 70 years. The Kevish Ayel, the Drama Shul Mizbech. Now we talk about the ramp. Lamed Beis Al Rachav Tes Zion. So it was 32 by 16. Now it was 16 amas wide. So it made up, if you have a good visual right now, it made up, it represented half of the southern base of the Mizbech. Southern base of the Mizbech was 32 amas wide, so the ramp made up half that distance. Obviously it was centered, so that means that was 8 amas free on one side, 8 amas free on the other side. Now, it was 32 amas long. Now, here's a little bit of confusion. If I may, the 32 amas that the missionary is describing, is that describing the hypotenuse, meaning the diagonal, or is that describing the linear distance, the horizontal distance from the base of the ramp over to the Mizbeach? What do you think? Machlokas. Not always, but this is open for interpretation. So it's a machlokas between the Rashi and the Rambam in terms of whether this 32, is it measuring the hypotenuse or is it measuring the base?
No, but the thing is that it looks like the hypotenuse is actually overlapping the Mizbeach.
Because the Mizbeach is block on top of block, and the Mizbeach keeps getting recessed in an Amma. You're right. I'm with you. So from just a construction standpoint, if I just flush it against the foundation, it's not going to hit the top. Okay. Yeah, there was the mission. The Gemara elsewhere describes that there was a small gap between the top of the ramp, but a small gap though, not a one amma, not a two amma gap, which would be the case if it would just simply be flush right up against the base of the Mizbech. Okay. I'm in the middle of the Mishnah. I stopped in the middle of the Mishnah. The Kevashaya Ladroma Shah Mizbech Lamed Beza Rachav Tes Zayin Urevuva Haisalo Bemaravo. And there was a small side ledge on the western side of this ramp. Sheshama, you know, some psule chatzasof. If I have a chatzasof, that becomes pasul. So I can't, in other words, remember, any carbon that becomes pasul in the Azara must remain in the Azara and be disposed of in the Azara. So this side ramp is where the Chatzitz Oaf, which becomes disqualified, gets deposited. Echad Avnei HaKevesh Ve'echad Avnei HaMizbeach Mibakas Mibeis Keren. Where the stones come from, this Mizbeach was made out of stones, quarried stones. So it comes from the Bik of the Valley of Beis Keren. Ve'chofrim Lamata Mibesula Lamata Mibesula. And it go. Yeah, it has to be taken from virgin earth. Earth that was not tilled, earth that was not used as a field, but the rock was quarried from this area, this pristine area. And you bring whole stones. Shalohu nafalein barzel, that was not touched with metal. Shah barzel posa benigia, just contact between a metal instrument and the mizbeach, will, and the stones for the mizbeach will disqualify the stones of the mizbeach. How do they carve it? How do they carve the stones?
Shamir.
Okay. Upigim lechol davar nifka ma'achas mehem hi psula v'kulang sheiros. Now, the stones have to be smooth as well. If there is any type of nick in the stone, so it will disqualify the stone. And there would be some sort of whitewash. They would bleach the stones. Now, what kind of agent they would use to bleach, I'm not sure. Chemical treatment of the stones, they would bleach the stones. And they would use this bleaching process twice a year, echad bePesach veEchad bChag. I'm curious to know, are we talking about before Yontif or after Yontif? I can make arguments either way. But in other words, two times a year, semi-annually, the stones got a bleaching treatment. Now, the Heichal got a total whitewash, a total bleaching, once a year around Pesach time. Rabbi Omer kol Erev Shabbos Malavnin Osan Bemapa. Now, Rabbi says, I think this is the first time we've seen Rabbi in Midos.
Right.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
And it's fascinating because Rabbi now is two or three generations after the Chorban, meaning Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who's the author of these Mishnayos. So he was there, he saw it. Rebbe, right, to my knowledge, did not see it. So it's interesting. He's
Rabbi Yaakov, what's his name?
Who's most?
Yeah.
Well, most of this is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov.
Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The Mishnayos, the real initiative for the Mishnayos came with Rebbe, no?
No, I understand that, but Rebbe got this as a Mesorah. Rebbe didn't.
Oh, right, so he. But he's saying
his Mesorah for these Mishnayos was Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov.
So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov was long dead.
Presumably. Right. I assume so. Rabbi Omer kol Erev Shabbos Melavnin Oso Bimapa Mimnei Hadamim. Every Erev Shabbos, so Shmata, right, basically, would be used to wipe everything down because of the blood. Lo Ayusadin Oso Bechapis Shal Barzel. Now, when applying this chemical treatment. Don't use, you know, that triangular tool that I'm thinking about?
Trowel.
Oh, thank you. So don't use an iron trowel because that's metal.
Yeah.
And once again, the Mishnah is telling us again, metal's no good. Shema Yagia v'yifsol shahabrazol nivra lakatzer. And interesting, right? The famous Mishnah, and here we're experiencing it. The copper, and for that matter, any metal, is nivra lakatzer. So what do we do with the metal? We make instruments of death from those. Weapons. And lakatzer yamav sha'adam. That mizbeach. And the sole purpose of the mizbeach is nivra laha'arich yamav sha'adam. To lengthen the days of a person. And eino bedin shi'anif ha'mikatzer al ha'marich. So these two items, these two instruments, metal instruments, and the stone mizbeach, have opposite purposes, so it cannot work to take something which is mikatzer and to apply it to something which is ma'arech, says the Mishnah in Midos.
This is the main source for this thing. This is the Mishnah.
This is it.
And it gets quoted a bit.
It gets quoted. V'tabaz ha'yilat zvarnashom mizbeach now. Okay, good. So we are moving on, Mishnah Hay. And so we have spent now the first four Mishnayos talking about the mizbeach. But we're not done yet, meaning as much as we would like to move now to the west, but we got more to cover. Because to the north of the Mizbeach, I got my rings, which we already talked about, but we're going to talk about them again. I have my tables. I got my blocks with hooks on them. So we got to cover the entire area of the Azara. So we're still in this Mizbeach area. So the next Mishnah, V'tabas hayu l'tzfanu shel mizbech, vav sedarim shel dalet v'dalet. V'yesh shomrim dalet shel vav vav. They're either 6x4 or 4x6. Okay? Again, a strange thing to have a debate over, meaning those are how the rings were set there for hundreds of years, but open to a debate whether it's 6x4 or 4x6. Shalem shochtim es hakachim. And this is where kachim were shechted. And now, further north, you had the area of the Beis HaMitbachayim, the butcher's corner, so to say. It's not a corner. So, now you had eight short blocks. Nanas means short, dwarf. Urivim shel erez al gabeim. And you had cedar blocks on top of it. And there were hooks connected to these blocks. The Gimel Sedar, three hooks on every one of them. And so what they were able to do now is hang the animal on the hooks, hefshit, flay the animal, and then place it on marble table, shebein amudim, that were between the amudim. Here you have a nice picture. I'm sure you have it as well. Where you have the tables, the blocks, I mean the hooks you can't see, but the hooks are connected to the blocks. Good. And now we get to move one step to the west. Okay, next Mishnah. Ha-kiyor haya beina ulam ulam mizbeach. Now we're up to the kiyor. The kiyor is between the ulam and the mizbeach. The ulam is the antechamber of the base of the heichal, the base of Mikdash. And here's the mizbeach. So between them, there was 22 amas of space. So the kiyor was there. Umushuch kalpe adaram. And the kiyor was to the south. Beina ulam ulam mizbeach. Chav beizama. The yud beiz malas hayusham. Now, there's an elevation. We're now going to have an elevation going from this part of the azara up to the ulam, and it's a pretty strong elevation. It's going to be an elevation of 6 amas, okay? Which is, that's a 12-foot elevation approximately. It's a serious elevation. So now you need steps to go up. The yud beiz malas hayusham. Now here they're going to be exceptional steps. What do I mean when I say exceptional? All the other steps in the base of Mikdash were 1/2 by 1/2. 1/2 up, 1/2 in. Rom malachati ama, vishilcha, ama, ama. Every horizontal of these steps is going to be 1 full ama. So now there are going to be 12 steps. Each one of the steps now is a full ama. So that would mean then that would cover 12 amas. Okay. But, as we're going to now learn, it was actually longer than just 12 amas, because there were landings over here. I'm sorry, Vishucha Amma, Amma, Amma Verovad Gimel, Amma, Amma Verovad Gimel, Valyona Amma, Amma Verovad Dalid. Three steps, then a landing. Three steps, then a landing. Three steps, and then a landing. The landings were 3 amos, horizontally long, except for the last landing, which was 4 amas long. Huh? Five? We didn't see 5 yet. We're getting to it. All right. Oh my gosh.
But if the last landing was 4 amas, does that mean the last one, and then there were a couple more steps, or
no? The last landing, right to get up to the ulam.
Okay. Like the platform that's connected to the ulam.
And was 4. Right.
You would add the last step to make it 5.
Right. So now, yeah, he has nice pictures over there as well. Okay, so 3 landings of 3, 3, 3, and then 4. Okay, so that made, obviously, so in other words, when all was told, the distance between the steps of the ulam and the mizbeach was tiny. Meaning, there wasn't really much room. I know this picture makes it out that there's a lot of room. There really wasn't a lot of room. You're talking about a total distance of 22 amas between the ulam and the mizbeach, and there were 12 steps. But remember, though, each step was 1 ama, and then you had landings of 3, 3, and 3, which is 9, plus another 4, which is 13. So it's 13 plus, what is it? 13.
13 plus 12.
No, there's only 3 steps.
13 plus 9.
Only 2 steps.
13 plus 9. Okay.
22.
Basically, there is no room. I guess is what we want to try to visualize. This picture is not to scale, but there really was no room between the steps of the Mizbech and the Ulam.
No, there were two landings of three.
Two landings
plus
of
one, so it makes four.
Yeah,
really.
So why would they
and the top four? One was four plus one, right. And then all each step we came to 22.
Okay, fine. From the Ulam to the Mizbech was 22,
wow.
And most of it was really made up of the steps. All of it, in fact.
So how could they walk around?
This one, yeah, that's more to scale. Right, that's right.
How could they walk on there?
I mean, it was just. They just
around the Mizbech.
No, well, first of all, whenever they walked around, they walked on the top of the Mizbeach. But if you wanted to walk around, I mean, you just simply had to step up on these steps.
So the Kior is not in between the Mizbeach.
Kior is to the south.
And the steps.
Right.
That's pretty clear.
Okay, let's move ahead. Now, V'yesh Omer, I'm sorry, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yona Amma Amma, V'rovad Hei. Now, Rabbi Yehuda has a five Amma platform for the top. Now, you have to say this, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if five is that last landing, they got to lose an Amma somewhere else.
Right.
Meaning otherwise, then the steps are going to go into the Mizbech, that it's hard to imagine. Okay. Pitzcho shel Ulam. Okay, we're ready. We're now going to enter into the Ulam. We have an entrance. And this is also now going to be an exceptional entrance. All other doorways to the base of Mikdash were 10 by 20. 20 in height, 10 in width. The entrance to this ulam, it's an antechamber. Pesach Shal Ulam, Govo. Right, we got to change the gear so the Mishnah is over here. Govo Memam Averachva Chaf Amam. 20 by 40. Okay, it's hard to picture. I mean, you're talking now. Again, I'm just going to translate into 2 feet just so it makes it easy for us to convert. You're talking about 40 feet by 80 feet.
That's like an 8-floor building.
Right, that opening is like an opening of an 8-floor building.
No, I haven't seen anyone put that on their house.
No.
People like to get big, but you know.
it's huge. Vehei Miltrot Shalmi Lahayu Agabav. Now, they had beams over the top of the entrance. Now they were structural and they were also aesthetic as well. So in each beam that was placed over the top of the entrance of the ulam was wider than its one below it by one amma on each side. Now if you keep following this configuration, right? You don't see this over here because this picture is just a bird's eye view of the top. You see it, right? You can see it over there. So in other words, with one beam going over and over and over, and each beam being one wider,
wow.
So the last beam is going to be 30 amas long.
These...
Yeah, but this is holding up a heavy stones above. This is like a giant.
It's basically like a lintel.
It's a lintel.
Right, but it's a composite of. I don't know. And there were stones between each one of these beams. Okay. The clone stone shall even ayikvulim mikatlo shall hechal. Now we get to the engineering part. Now I don't fully understand this because, again, it'd be helpful if we saw it actually inside. But there was some sort of structural beams that we needed. In other words, you're talking about a very high building. So you needed beams in order to create more structure. And the Mishnah describes that there were clone social oven. Now, we have in our Mishnah the word Evan. It's probably the Girsa should be Erez, wood. Now, we learned not that long ago, Masech Tatami, that wood is not
right.
is not acceptable material for the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. I saw Rabbi Kornfeld in his on today's notes to the Daf, so he discusses this issue. How, you know, Even though we said that back in Masech Tamid, that as a rule, you can't use wood as construction material, but every now and then, wood kind of sneaks in there. So he quotes a word by the Vilna Gaon, right? You're right. The Vilna Gaon says that you can't have vertical wood, but you can have horizontal wood. What's the difference? Why should that be? Because if the prohibition of putting wood as part of the construction is based on the Asherah tree, and the Asherah tree is a vertical. So you can't do it vertically, you can only do it horizontally. Okay. Sorry.
I bet you can do this door all the way in
Eureka. So that does not buckle. And there were golden chains that were connected to the tikra, to the roof. And from there the young Kohanim can go up there and see the crowns. Not 100% sure what crowns we're talking about right now. Shenamar, and the Gemara quotes the pasuk. Sorry, the Mishnah quotes the pasuk in Zechariah. Va'atarotia lechelam uletuvla uliyadaya ulechem ben Tzafanya lezichron beheichal Hashem. Sorry. Begefen shalzav ha'isam das apitzchol shal heichal. Now at the entrance of the heichal, you had a golden cluster of grapes, meaning gold that was molded and shaped into vines and grapevines. Now, anyone who donates gold, they'll hang it on this cluster of grapes. You know how you walk into a shul, pretty much anywhere in America, and they're going to have, you know, Eitz Chaim tree in the front, and then you donate it. In other words, similar, very similar. Nothing much has changed in the last 2,000 years. So you donating gold to the Beis HaMikdash, so it's going to get hung there for some time, you know, before they actually eat it. But again, it was a way of, you know, showing people how, you know, how it's good to donate and, you know. They had to take down the gold, and one time it took 300 Kohanim to take down the gold. Remember, right? 300, that's code for a bit of an exaggeration. Adkan Perik Shlishi, let's move on to Perik Revi. Okay, so where are we now? We're right up to the entrance of the Heichal. So in other words, in the third Perik of Midos, we did not travel that far, right? Spiritually, we traveled very far. Geographically, we got from the front of the Mizbeach to the Ulam. That was the third parak of Midos. And now we're into the fourth parak of Midos, and now we're going to go into the Heichal. But before we go into the Heichal, the entrance of the Heichal. So it was 20 by 10, which is the normal doorway of all entrances into the Beis HaMikdash. The Arba Galasos Hayu Lo. And it really was a composite of four doors. Okay? And if you look at the picture that I have right over here, you see it nicely. The four doors of the entrance of the Heichal. It was almost like doorway, almost like a small little hallway and doorway once again. Shtayim Bifnim V'Shtayim Bebechush Shenemar Shtayim Galasos LaHeichal LaKodesh HaChitzona Niftachos L'Socha Pesach. Now, when the outer doors are opened up, they basically ran flush against the interior wall of this hallway. So to say, when you open those outer doorways, they hinge so that they basically covered the inside of that hallway. When the interior doors opened up, they opened up so that basically they hinged in a way so that they would open up and cover that back wall over here. Shekol Abayis Tuach Bezahav, the entire interior of the Heichal was plated with gold, Chutz Me'achad Lasos, except for that area right over here. I know I'm pointing and doesn't make for a good audio medium, but in other words, this area right behind the doorways was not plated, so that when these doors were opened up, and the doors were made out of gold, so therefore you only saw gold plating. Shekol by Tuch Bazav, Chutz Me'achad Alasos, Rav Yehuda Omer, Besoch HaPesach Hayu Omdos, Ukamin Itztramatya Hayu, V'nikbalos La'achareihem. According to Rav Yehuda, they were like folding closet doors. Right, you know, when you're right, most of our closet doors have the things that fold. So that's what he describes. And they kind of, each door folded over half on its half, so that this one opened up into the interior, this one opened up into the interior, and because they folded over, so therefore the two of them met at the midway point. Elu shnei amos amechza, ve'elu shnei amos amechza, chati amo mezuzah mikan, ve'chati amo mezuzah mikan, shenemar, u'shtayim dalatos ladalto shtayim, u'sabot dalatos shtayim ladalos echad, u'shtey dalatot la'acheres. And he also cites the pasuk in Yecheskel in order to describe his position. So in other words, two opinions in the Mishnah in terms of how these doorways opened up, whether they were solid doors or whether they were folding doors, and how exactly they opened up. And both positions have Psukim and Yecheskel that support their position. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up from the second Mishnah, and tomorrow we're going to go into the Heichal.
Do we know if the inside was gold? Was it wood? Was it gold-plated?
No, it was gold. Everything was gold-plated.
Gold over the stone.
Over the stone. Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha Amar Ratzah Kosh Baruch Hu Zach Misal Fir Vachir Ben Torah Mitzvah Shenema Anay Chavitza Matzikol Yadil Torah Vyadir.